Resources consumed. Resources exist to be consumed. 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 Consumed.
This is your corrugated Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Fold Gently Feather.
This is Be Kind, Rewind, Recycle. I'm sorry, whatever. Midnight Gadfly.
This is the Wide Load Dr. Head. And together, we bring you...
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to review a movie that I think is absolutely spectacular and very inventive. It is called Dave Made a Maze. Yeah, Dave Made a Maze. And this is about a, I'm producing and talking at the same time. This is a story about, okay, before we get there, spoiler alert, go watch the fucking movie. If you haven't watched the movie,
yes,
watch the movie.
And don't read anything. Don't even read the fucking description. Just watch it.
Just watch the movie. And then come back and listen to this podcast because...
Yeah, giving you fair warning.
Yeah.
Or can they watch it?
They can watch
they
it.
Can watch
it's
it
on Prime.
Prime.
This is we're it's exploring your Prime. Box.
Yeah. So this is a... This is a story about a guy who builds a cardboard box maze in his living room, in his apartment, and his girlfriend, wife, comes home and discovers that there's this cardboard box in the middle of her living room. And then she hears his voice saying, "Don't come in. Whatever you do, don't come in." So she starts to gather all of his friends to come to the apartment and look at this maze, and then a number of them decide they're going to this cardboard box, and then they decide to go in. And when they go in, it's literally some sort of extra dimensional space, right, where they experience all kinds of stuff. Now, the great thing about this is not just the story, but the fact that everything is made with cardboard. Corrugated paper, as they say, right? So let's talk about this movie. I'm going to throw it to Dr. Tar first.
Oh, really? Huh. Yeah, it was really. It was. Yeah, they jumped right into the supernatural.
Oh, but a wise guy, huh?
Everything kept a light tone to it, though. You know what I mean? The movie itself kept a light tone, which is kind of funny, you know, considering the cardboard motif going on. Like when they do the gore, it ends up being like red paper, just kind of like
streamers and silly string.
Yeah,
but it's true. That was
spectacular when they so it inventive
was. It was, yeah. I enjoyed the movie. It was fun, and it had, like I said, it just had that, it was fun, different.
Yeah, we should say that Dave is an artist who has yet to complete anything significant in his career. Builds a fort in his living room.
That's what I said. It's not just a cardboard box. It's a fort. It's a cardboard fort like I used to build when I was a kid.
Yeah. And what we had.
Multi-dimensional. Probably all did at one time.
Yeah, well,
and it really truly was multi-dimensional.
Yeah.
It took you any place you wanted to go. That was cool.
Yeah, Feather, what did you think? What's your thoughts on this movie?
I really liked the production. You know, the way it was put together.
Yeah.
And all, and just and I that I thought was brilliant. I'm of two minds, I guess, of the actual story. Sometimes I liked the story and sometimes I didn't like the story. And I don't know how to put it any differently than that. But even the parts that I didn't like, I still liked. Does that make sense? Sure, I like some parts better than other parts. But yeah, I thought it a very innovative movie.
Innovative,
yes. One of the beauties of it, it never tries to explain what it is.
Yes.
Right.
Never.
And it has a weird tone about it.
Never tries to explain, give you any kind of explanation of how this happened. You just know that at one point, if they tried to beat it on the outside, it was crumbling. Or if they beat it on the inside, it was crumbling. And that if that crumbled, you know, dire things would happen. And yeah, and the whole party attitude of all the friends.
The party, that's great. That's exactly it. The party attitude outside of the box, outside of the fort, is amazing.
Because they just think he's in there and won't come out. That's the thing. Yeah. They're trying to get him to come out. And he's like, I can't. I'm stuck in here. So they're thinking it's like an existential mental crisis that he's in.
Yes.
Rather than
and the bum eating at the refrigerator, just going, watching,
hanging out there.
Eating everything out of the refrigerator.
And
who was that? That was that comedian. Oh, what's his name? He was an older comedian from the 90s and stuff.
An older comedian from the 90s. Fuck you.
Ah, damn it. I can't think of his name. Sorry. You'd know him if,
No. I loved that party outside, but I also liked the fact that when they went into the fortress, it was King Midas. You know, the Minotaur. We have the Minotaur. That they put together. And the fact that when they made this movie, they went around to all these places that had cardboard and grabbed all the cardboard to make all of the sets. And that's, I think, one of the most significant things of this movie is that everything you see has cardboard surrounding it, you know, corrugated paper. And then we have a corrugated vagina, right? I mean, come on. There's the one room where it's the vagina that's trying to suck them all in, you know.
Hypnotic.
Hypnotic. Yes. Yeah, it's hypnotic.
Yeah, he just waves it off and goes, it's a trap.
Yeah, right.
I know, Venus fly trap.
Yeah, and they're all like standing there getting mesmerized, like the pull.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dr. Head, what do you think?
I love this movie. I thought it was
He's
so
He's all about cardboard vaginas.
It gets me closer to a real one. I'm watching it. we're going to get a paper cut in this one, Ma.
Well, at least it's just your finger.
My tongue's a lacerated ball.
It's not my finger.
I think whoever not that hard. Oh, that's not my finger, but thanks. Meet up on all five in my pants.
Was out of sight.
The set designer should have received some kind of award for this. I mean, the brilliant use of
cardboard,
how inventive and creative, everything, and the look that the effect that they got of simple use of cardboard and light and smoke, was just so well thought out and well imagined and articulated. And when they even go down and do the tunnel, like the scene from Star Wars, they kind of jump. And then they turn into the fucking puppets. I'm like, into cardboard themselves. I'm like, oh my.
Cardboard puppets.
It was really good.
Yeah, they carried that theme so well, and it was so imaginative, like a fantasy world that was ridiculous. And as much as the characters were ridiculous, the party people, they're like, even in the face of death, they're all being kind of silly and goofy. And I love.
But getting killed.
But getting killed. And really killed.
And
there's a
going
darkness.
Back to the gore.
There's a lot of people getting killed in this movie.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. The gore is all streamers, red streamers, and strip paper and like silly string. And it's
but even at the end, the tone of the people is like, you know, it happened.
Well, he said he was sorry. What more do you want, Dr. Carr?
Yeah, it was just like, sorry for all my friends that were like, whatever.
Tertiary, Lee, tertiary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no matter what, I just loved the fact that the camera crew was the guy who was directing was always directing and making people like say things. Oh, do that reaction again. Can you say it as a sentence? Yeah. You know, always doing.
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, the cameraman, the boom guy. Yeah, they were like zany characters. It was almost like it's a mad world kind of thing.
And the director himself, you know.
Yes.
Yep. That guy is I've seen before. He's familiar.
James Urbaniak.
Yeah.
He played Crumb in American Splendor.
Yeah.
Which was really good. That was really good.
Yes, yeah, it was.
That's a movie I'd love to do on this podcast. American Splendor is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, so. What?
Yeah,
what
let's do it. Let's do it. Splendor.
Well, you're talking about the gore, you know, and stuff. Yeah. What that reminded me of, like the first time that all happened, was Japanese kabuki theater. Really had that feel to it. Yeah, yeah, and most of the
red
gore
scarves.
The way that they utilize
that makes sense
in the
yeah, and the origami nature of of the little pterodactyls and things. I love how the you know, the house or the cardboard, you know, little house it takes on a maze of its own. Like it begins
the whole interdimensional.
It becomes alive and growing in a way that, you know, you see that like in Rose Red or Hell House, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
you know, but no, I just thought there was
and just, everybody just kind of disregards all that too.
Yeah, they're just kind of like, in this.
Know, well, yeah,
it is what it is. Yeah.
Yes, they're just a very accepting of like. You know, and that one was it the couple? I don't know where they were from. The European couple, like everyone's trying to get out of it, and they're sitting having a picnic. You know, just enjoying the moment together.
Would be like Swedish or something.
Yes. There's a silliness of acceptance of silliness in this movie that almost borders on the absurd.
I think that's absolutely true.
And it, all the symbolism that comes with it, but there's still like a lot of like self exploration. There are moments where you see this couple, the relationship they had, that are actually fairly deep and telling, I think, and that they're like, okay, there's a little substance here, you know, and the crisis that that he's working out and kind of, you know, going through while he's doing this, and which again is another very creative kind of literally cathartic experience. He's kind of creating his own womb and giving himself birth.
He's sorry that he created an interdimensional rift that killed a bunch of people.
It's a kid's imagination gone awry. I mean, it really is. You know, because you would build these boxes, and your brain would build these.
Make anything out of them. It's great.
Yeah, you'd go in there, and this would be this huge thing. And that's what happens. Like, as an artist, he creates this fort like he would as a kid, and it just goes fucking nuts, you know? So,
yeah. It reminded me a lot of Richard Brautigan's work.
A Hawkeye Monster.
Yes, a whole lot. It had that feel to it. You immediately early on just throw reality out the window, you know, and just don't even think about it, you know, because, you know, I have an analytical mind sometimes. And I just shut it down. I said, no, I'm not analyzing anything. I'm letting it show me what it's trying to show me, you know.
Yeah.
And it did a great job of it. It just did a great job.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Strawberry Mansion in that matter. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That way of presenting it is what it is. You're seeing,
right?
Very good movie. I highly recommend it.
I think my skepticism, like I had skepticism watching it until they became puppets themselves. The characters entered part, and they became puppets. I'm like, going, all right, I'm in, and that changed everything, and that made me want to go back and watch it again. So I watched this like 3-4 times. You know, I mean, and I'm like. As a person who's tried to make a film, you know, many times, I applaud this inventiveness, you know, to the highest degree. I mean, you know, no budget. What do you have?
Time. It's time equity. Time.
Yeah. It's
not it is.
But then when they get to the Minotaur, that Minotaur is terrifying, right?
Not the first one, not the puppet.
No, not the puppet.
Yeah, but the real one, the beefy guy, yeah.
Yeah, when you get the beefy guy and you're just like, oh my God, yeah, that's... And
yeah.
The design, the set design, yeah, whoever did that, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love at the end that he's the one who comes out into our world. You know, right. He's like roaming the streets and he's like, gives the sun, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Even at the end, they're going to say, you know, even though he's a Minotaur, you know, he's going to give you like, peace, dude. Love you. Nice. Like, okay. That's awesome. Yeah, it's what an inventive, brilliant movie. And I told Mrs. Head, I said, hey, you got to check out this movie. I said, but don't read the description. Just cue it up and play. I'm not
jump into
about
it. Watch it.
Yeah.
Yes, and she absolutely loved it.
Yeah. The water's not that cold.
Yeah. Well, I have to confess that I only watched this movie because I heard about it from another podcast, B Movie Mania, and so when they started, they even said, "Shut the podcast off right now and watch the movie, and then come back." And I did.
Yeah.
You know, which was the best thing I could have possibly done. You know, and then listening to their, you know, their take on it was great. But I think we're all like hitting on the same kind of notes of what they did, which is incredibly inventive. The fact that the director kept going out to all these factories that he knew had, you know, corrugated, you know, cardboard and grabbing it. But then being very careful to recycle it after they were done. You know, I would love to have a theme park that was walking through that whole movie. Right?
That would be pretty weird.
That would be amazing. That would be
But they couldn't make it out of cardboard, though. That would be the thing. Yeah. But that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would like to see that. Yeah. It does. You're right. It taps into like you make a blanket fort or a cardboard fort. It becomes so much more. But you know, playing with the box of whatever came in. If it's a large box, like you know, and then you draw in it. I mean, I had one that was like a spaceship. You know.
Oh yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
And I had all the dials and stuff. Yeah. You know, it's like it just appeals to that sense of joy and letting that imagination run. And SpongeBob and Patrick have a cardboard box. They do the same thing. And they imagine all these crazy adventures.
Round table and blankets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just magical about it, that space.
Well, and that's what kind of draws you in because, you know, when you're in that box, your world has expanded so bigly, you know, so widely. Yeah. In your head. Yes, in your head. But that's, you know, so that's all.
Oh, no, I'm just
going
to say it's
this guy's going, world, okay, though. let's take the next step, you know, and make this.
He probably loved that Bugs Bunny cartoon where the Bugs Bunny, you know, he sees the Sheik's tent and goes in. It's this huge, sprawling, you know, mega, like, circus tent.
Yeah. You know, I know he's, like, resolving his issues, but he's also kind of like that kid from the Twilight Zone, you know, what he thinks is he's building it. He's building this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this true. Alternate That's reality true. Type thing.
Right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, kind of gotten away from him.
Everybody else is subject to it also, and it's just so.
Yeah, I would creating, like that.
That's like, go ahead. No, go ahead.
All right, I was like that as a kid watching Godzilla movies. I would always want a box I could sit in, you know, that's big enough, and I would draw on it and feel like I was in some sort of spaceship watching this shit. I don't know what Godzilla movies did to me that made me want to do that, but it was always like that all the way from. Yeah,
I'm thinking it's a special effect.
4 years old till 54 years old.
I was going to say, it's embarrassing.
Get out of that box!
After we're done with this episode,
I got my box.
That's right.
Go ahead, Feather. What were you going to say?
I can't remember now.
I was going to say. Refrigerator boxes. I don't remember. Those were score.
Yeah, don't get me started. Refrigerator boxes.
Oh, yeah. Refrigerator boxes.
Yeah, see,
anyway, kids, I just decided refrigerator boxes.
Yeah, these kids have no idea what we had to go through to have an imagination and entertain ourselves. Really.
No, microwave boxes suck. Cats love them, but anyway.
Yeah, I'd love to know more. Like, if there was ever a documentary or a little, even a 15-minute short piece about the making of this movie, I'd love to see it, because that was just brilliant. Brilliant economy. It's so, the thoughtful nature behind everything, you know, and just it's brilliant in simplicity, you know.
The other thing I was going to say was I'd like to, the acting is all really good.
Really good, yeah.
For everybody in this movie, the acting is really good. That, to me, that helps the story right there tremendously.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're you know? Right.
Yeah.
So, but I think the fact that it got that actor that played Crumb, you know, he's been in a lot of different things. Was, you know, that's a testament to the quality of not only the novelty of the cardboard, but the story.
Yeah.
And the act, like you said, the acting, like it all just kind of falls together. I mean, and it really is this kind of King Midas thing where they're trying to just get through this maze, you know, and the maze of cardboard. And then they have the Minotaur in it. And I love the design.
That's
of the
all King Midas, yeah.
Yeah, the, mm-hmm. the Minotaur is amazing. That design, fucking amazing.
Yeah,
and it's like his,
Face the Beast.
And it was partially produced by the Masking Tape Corporation.
I think it was the Unmasking Tape Corporation.
Unmasking Tape.
Well, okay. This episode so far is the shortest episode of the three we've just done.
Really?
Yeah, we're only at 22 minutes and 22 seconds.
Did we unpack that too quick?
Yeah. Well, I think because we all like the same things about it. We all notice those things and talk about it. Like, it resonates all of us.
I think it's so good that we just want people to watch it, honestly. Yeah, I think.
No, I do
just,
too. Yeah, I do too.
Just go watch it. Like, trying to talk about it is not giving us, doing service to what the movie is. And you should just go watch it, because
it's an experience, right? It's worth watching. Yeah. Certainly. Oh, I think one of the most exciting, interesting, and fun movies I'd seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Oh, I agree.
Well, okay. Then let's keep this a tight 20. Three.
You guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
Wait. Oh.
Wait. You got something to say? Talk. Go.
I was just going to say tight 23 again. I just thought that was funny.
Tight 23.
Resources exist to be consumed. Resources consumed. Resources exist to be consumed.
And you have been listening to, or experiencing,
or listening, or whatever you've been doing today.
What are you, yeah.
Sensing.
Rolling the corrugating tube. Rolling the corrugated corridor of our mind.
I say.
In a cardboard box.
Step away, boy, you bother me.
Exist to be consumed.
I've been corrugated.
Consumed. Consumed.
Box Rebellion.
Consumed. Open this end only.
Consumed. Consumed.
Unseen Radio. Consume it. Consume it. Consumed. UnseenRadio@gmail.com. Unseen Radio is on Facebook. Unseen Radio has a website called UnseenRadio.com where you can see all the pretty pictures. Most of them are pretty. Some of them are just kind of not too pretty because the artist gets fucking lazy sometimes. But other than that, then there's Tar and Feather. TarandFeather.com is our website. Beautiful ass motherfucking website. What the fuck? People, go there. Go there. Wait a minute. We got a new fan. What can I say? We got a new fan, motherfuckers. We're on a roll.
He joined the Monster Club.
You see a bunch of Tar and Feathers movies, episodes of Psycho Cinema on YouTube now. We're taking over YouTube.
We're every fucking where.
If you can't get in, if it says too many people are watching it, just wait a few minutes and you'll be able to get in.
Buy your
because those people only last about 2 minutes. So.
Like me.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been watching a movie. Hey now. Speaking of 2 minutes, heavy metal horror corrugated podcast on the Facebook and heavy metal horror corrugated podcast on the YouTube. Montag Corrugated Lewis on Instagram. If you know someone like your show, tell them about us. That's right, Montag says hello.
Next week we're going to talk about the movie David Mamet's Homicide. A little different take than Dave Mamet's.
They use real blood in the cardboard.
Check out We Freaks.
Oh, yes. We Freaks on Facebook.
We Freaks.
W-E-E-Z. F-R-E-E.
Wheeze Freaks?
Wheeze Freaks. That's
oh, they can't breathe?
Keep them
breathing.
Wheeze Freaks.
Oh, my lungs.
On Facebook. Go see them. Family friendly, cool comics.
Midnight Gadfly, still on parole.
Cardboard box here.